all! Quick cold open to say that my debut novel, Charlotte Isles is Not a Detective, is available for pre-order. Unless you're listening to this on or after June 27th, 2023, in which case, it's out. If you're interested in getting the book, pre-orders really help authors out. You can get more information on my website, katieflyesaway.com/author, which includes how you can get a signed and personalized copy. Thanks. Now on to the show. Welcome back to Dear Lysphera. My name's Lysphera Lindenbar, and if this is your first time tuning in on this show, I give advice to any folks and creatures who may need it. Now, you might be wondering why my pinky finger is in a splint right now. I just realized that no one was wondering that because you can't see me right now. Unless you could tell from the tone of my voice that my pinky finger is in a splint, I've actually met a magic caster who is able to conjure an exact image of a person just by hearing their voice. Our station manager, Reuven, hired them when his long-distance girlfriend, who he'd only ever talked to on the speaking plant, started asking him to send her money, and he got suspicious. Then... oh, come on, Reuven, it's a good story! Fine. All I'll say is, she was not who she said she was. She was actually famous and was just trying to find out how much Reuven cared about her, but when she found out he'd conjured an image of her, she broke things off. Right, sorry. They mutually agreed to end things. Why did I start talking about this? Oh, right, my pinky. So, the other night, my best friend Raedra and I went to a friend's tree party. When we got there, a bunch of people were playing potion pong, and Raedra jumped right in. I asked what potions were in the cups because, you know, someone needed to ask. They said they were all just a bunch of silly, low-impact potions. As the game went on, one player drank a potion and started tap dancing uncontrollably for 30 seconds. Another person's hair turned invisible. Then Raedra took a potion, and nothing seemed to change. They finished the game, and suddenly she was like, "Who wants to see me jump off the top of the tree into the pond?" And everyone was like, "Yeah!" And I was like, "No!" As everyone went outside to watch her jump, I managed to find someone who was able to cast a charm on her and make her descent slow enough that the jump didn't hurt her. But then she just kept coming up with these wild stunts to try. Eventually, I was able to work out that she'd taken some kind of confidence potion. The thing is, Raedra is already incredibly confident, so the potion just boosted her to overconfidence and made her want to try all these things that she'd normally know weren't the smartest ideas. So I spent the rest of the evening trying to keep her from getting zapped by a higgling flower and sparring with a crocodanda someone conjured and telling Origin Lilena that she was the one who broke his crossbow when we were 12. Origin doesn't listen to this show. Anyway, I finally got her home as the potion was wearing off, and all was well. Let's get into my pinky. Slammed it in the door when I got home that night. It doesn't even hurt that much anymore. I'm going to the healer later today to get it fixed. Thankfully, I'll still be able to play the piano, if I ever decide to take up the piano again, which is unlikely, considering the last time I played the piano, it fully caught on fire. But that's a story for another time, because we've got to start the show. Now let's get into our first letter. If you need some advice, you can send your letters to Dear Lysphera at the Towering Forest radio station. Our first letter comes from Kavjamon. They write, "Dear Lysphera, my name is Kavjamon. I'm a wizard and have spent a lot of years learning about magic and honing my craft. I'm in an adventuring party with three warlocks who just get their magical abilities from their warlock patrons. They're all very close with their patrons. Often the patrons will show up to our battles and cheer their warlocks on from the sidelines. They'll say things like, 'You go!' and 'Good shot!' and 'Aim for the jugular, but watch out for the acid!' Oh, goodness. I have no judgment for my warlock party members on how they've chosen to acquire their magic. But sometimes I feel like the seventh wheel of our party. I'm wondering if maybe me being a wizard and them being warlocks makes us incompatible as a group. We all get along pretty well, but I've been thinking maybe I should find a group of wizards to travel with instead. Any advice? Thanks, Kavjamon." Well, first off, it sounds like you might have a little bit of judgment for your party members. I mean, you started out by really emphasizing how hard you've worked for your magic, and then went on to say these warlocks just get their magical abilities from their warlock patrons. It kind of reads like judgment. But aside from possibly having some judgy feelings for your party members, I don't think compatibility is your issue. it just sounds like you're feeling a little left out. And understandably so. Everyone you travel with has someone to depend on for their magic, who often cheers them on, and you just have to depend on yourself. Have you considered taking on an apprentice? Or like a, I don't know, can wizards have squires? An intern, maybe. Someone who can come along with you on your travels, learning from you, but who can also cheer you on during battles. You can cheer each other on. Just because you've always had to depend on yourself for magic doesn't mean you always have to depend on yourself for everything. Maybe just tell your party members that you'd appreciate some verbal encouragement every now and then. And also work on your judgment about warlocks. If they get the sense that you don't respect them, they'll have no reason to respect you. Also, if you do get an apprentice slash squire slash intern, make sure they're actually getting something from the experience. Otherwise, I might get a letter one day that goes, "Dear Lysphera, I'm traveling with this wizard to learn more about magic, but the only task they've given me to do is yell, 'Good job!' whenever they do a spell." And I don't want to get that letter, because I'm just going to tell them to quit. Then you're back to square one. Hope that helps. Thanks for writing in. You know, I've met a bunch of warlocks, and they really run the gamut when it comes to their relationships with their patrons. I've known warlocks who haven't spoken to their patrons since they first made their pact, and others who talk with their patrons every day. One time, I was on a date with a warlock, and they couldn't decide what they wanted to eat, so they were like, "Give me a moment," and then suddenly their eyes turned bright white, and they asked their patron what they should order, and their patron would reply through the warlock's mouth in a deeper voice, so it kind of just looked like the warlock was having a conversation with themselves. They would be like, "But there's a soup and salad special."
"Yes, but their nichpin casserole is really good."
"I had nichpin for lunch today."
"Oh, never mind then."
And the whole time their eyes just kept glowing, as I pretended to be very occupied with the free bread on the table, until finally they both agreed on the gollywaddle chops. They also said "love you" to each other before ending the conversation, which honestly was kind of sweet. Let's read another letter. This one comes from Essid. They write, "Dear Lysphera, I have an issue with my mail person. I keep getting notes on my door that I missed a package delivery that I needed to sign for. Then I have to go all the way to the post office to pick up the package. The first time this happened, I figured maybe I was in the backyard or something and didn't hear the knock on the door. But the second time, I did hear the knock, but by the time I got to the door, there was no one there, just a note telling me to go to the post office. The third time, I was ready. As soon as I heard the knock, I ran to the door, but I still missed them. There's really nowhere they could have run to without me seeing them running away, so I think they're either flying or turning invisible. I'm really tired of having to go to the post office every time I have a package. My aunt sends me care packages multiple times a week, and my path to the post office is somehow uphill both ways, so I'm always exhausted by the time I get back. How can I catch my mail person? Sincerely, Essid." That reminds me, Reuven, have you made peace with our mail person yet? I haven't been able to find out what, but apparently our station manager, Reuven, did something to upset our mail person, and now everyone has to climb up the radio station's tree to receive our mail every time it gets delivered. You've settled things? Are you sure? Because I'm looking out the window and I see three letters stuck in the branches. All right, if you say so. So there's kind of two questions here, right? Hang on, I'm gonna get a book while I talk.
Catch your mail person, but also, why is your mail person doing this? Maybe they're just trying to get through their route as quickly as possible. Oh, here's the book I was looking for.
Or maybe they're shy. Before you try to catch them at the door, I'd say try leaving some things for them to show them that you're nice. Maybe a slice of pie or just a nice note thanking them for what they do. Once they see how nice you are, they might be encouraged to wait around a little longer for you to come get your package. However, if that doesn't work, let's talk traps. Now, obviously, you don't want to harm your mail person or get them in a situation where they can't do their job after you get your mail. I've got this book of charms here. I'm trying to find a good charm you could attach to your door for when they knock. A freezing charm could work. Just something that temporarily freezes them until you can get to your door. But that could be scary for them, especially if you're actually not home when they make the delivery. Similarly, a charm that makes their hand stick to the door could also backfire if you're not there to dispel it and retrieve your package. Although I know that with some of these charms, you can make it so that the effects only last a certain amount of time, but still, it could be scary for them, and we don't want that. Oh, I've got it! A time slow charm! Oh, that's perfect! When triggered, the charm will cause time to slow around the target of the charm, but the male person will have no idea that their time has slowed. To them, it'll seem like you're moving incredibly fast. And if you're not home to get the package, you can make it so that the charm ends after a minute, so they aren't stuck in slow mode forever. Once you're finally able to get to the male person in time, maybe you can try to get to know them and figure out how to get them to wait around a little longer for you. Then you don't have to charm them every time they come to your home. Heh, I just pictured a welcome mat that says, "Welcome, Sloam." It's like welcome home, but slow. That's fun. Hope that helps. Thanks for writing in. We're going to take a quick break to hear from a sponsor, and then we'll be back with some more advice. If you need some advice, tell your speaking plant to call Dearless Fira at the Towering Forest radio station. But first, a word from our sponsor.
We all want skin that doesn't reveal to the world how old we are. Why would you want someone to have that kind of information about you? That's why you should try Fountain of Youth Skin and Scale Potion, which is in no way associated with the actual Fountain of Youth. Our easy-to-apply potion will leave you feeling fresh and rejuvenated. You'll no longer have to worry about your age showing on your face when this potion brings you back to those youthful days. Not literally, though. Unlike the real Fountain of Youth, our Skin and Scale Potion does not literally make you younger. Customers who have used our Fountain of Youth potion have reported improvements with their skin and scales in less than a week. Some customers have also reported confusion as to why they weren't literally getting younger. Please note that while this potion does contain cosmetic magic, it does not literally make you younger, like the fabled Fountain of Youth. It's just our name. To start your de-aging journey, metaphorically, tell your speaking plant to call Fountain of Youth Potions. Fountain of Youth, not associated in any way with the literal, actual Fountain of Youth.
And we're back with Dearless Fira, and I've been asked to read a message. Once again, please note that the Fountain of Youth potion contains no de-aging magic and has nothing to do with the actual Fountain of Youth. Okay, so hope that message has fully landed. If there's that much confusion, you'd think they'd just change the name, but... And we have a caller on the vine! Hello, caller! You're on the air!
It's not in here, either. Oh, hello?
Hi! Who is this?
My name is Equette. I didn't think you'd answer my call. Honestly, I'm not sure how much you can help me.
Well, try me. What seems to be the problem?
Well, I found a splatamander in the field behind my house earlier today. I gave it some bread, and it seemed to like me, so I brought it home. I turned my back on it for a second to get more bread, and when I turned back, it was gone.
Well, it probably went back outside. That's its real home, you know.
No, because I can still hear it running around the house. But every time I think I've caught up to it, the room is empty. I have to find it in the next hour.
Why's that?
That's when my parents get home. They've told me multiple times that they don't want pets in the house, which isn't fair at all because I'd be such a good pet owner.
Right.
The splatamander has also been leaving these slimy trails all over the house. I've been using them to try to track it down, but I also need to clean those up before my parents see.
Slimy trails?
Yep. I'm following one now. It looks really fresh.
I don't know that much about splatamanders. Hang on, I'm gonna grab a book. You keep looking.
Oh, giving the bookshelf a workout today.
Okay, I think I'm getting close, actually. It looks like it went under the couch. I'm gonna fly over so it doesn't feel the vibrations of my footsteps. And gotcha! Oh, man.
Okay, I'm back. What happened?
It wasn't there. I don't get it. The trail was so fresh. I mean, I think it was fresh. Honestly, I don't know what stale splatamander slime looks like.
I've got Vrilholm's bestiary. Let's see. Splatamander! Here it is. Oh, there's a lot. Skimming through. Bum, bum, bum.
I found more slime. This stuff is definitely fresh. I think it's right under the table! Oh, pluck my feathers.
Did you get it?
Nope. Unless by it you mean a bunch of slime on your hands. If so, yes, I got it.
Here's the section on slime. Splatamanders can detach and reattach their hind legs and tail at will. They'll often do so to throw predators off the scent. The hind legs and tail will turn invisible and run in the opposite direction of the front half of the Splatamander, leaving behind a trail of slime to lure the predator away.
Whoa!
So this whole time you haven't even been chasing the Splatamander. You've been chasing its invisible, slimy tail.
Great. How am I going to find it now?
Oh, is there anywhere in the house you haven't seen slime?
Let me see. Well, there's no slime near my bedroom.
I'd try looking there.
Okay, I'll fly again so it doesn't feel my footsteps. I'm slowly opening my door, and... Ha! I got it! Lysphera, I got it!
All right, nice work.
What do I do now? It's very wriggly!
Well, for starters, you can stop yelling.
Okay.
Just quickly take it outside. Maybe leave the door open a crack to let its tail follow. I'm sure once it's out of the house, it'll much rather stay there.
Here, little guy, you want some bread? Yeah, that's good, huh? I don't know, Lysphera. It seems pretty chill now. Maybe I can keep...
No.
Ugh, fine. Here you go, little guy. Be free. Whoa, fast runner. Ah!
What?
Oh, it's just the tail. Sped right past me. Ew, it left slime on my shoe.
Speaking of, you'll probably want to get back inside and clean up that slime before your parents get home.
Ah, right. Thanks for your help, Lysphera. Maybe I'm not ready to have a pet right now.
Maybe. But hey, pet rocks can be pretty fun and very low maintenance. Just make sure they're not actually a Giebler. That's a whole other vineball game.
Okay, sure. Well, thanks again.
Anytime. Thanks for calling. Bye.
Bye.
Well, listeners, I've got to go get my pinky healed, so that's all for our show today. Next up we have... Rustling Papers. I don't know why I continue to be surprised by these, but there you have it. I'll talk to you all again real soon, but in the meantime, keep your chin up and... Oh, I hit my pinky on my leg. Ow, 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 that hurts. Aye, Namorous. Ooh, keep your chin up. And, oh, it hurts too much. I can't think. Keep it groovy. What? Where did that come from? Oh, I need to go get this healed. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Dear Lysphera, which was created, written, and edited by Katie Siegel. Lysphera, the sponsor, and Equit were voiced by Katie Siegel. And I'm Nicole. Hi! If you enjoy the show and want to help it grow, please take a minute and leave a kind review on the Apple Podcasts app. If you do, Katie will come cheer for you on the sidelines of your next battle. For more Dear Lysphera, check out at Dear Lysphera on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also join the Chattering Grove Discord. The link to that is in the description. Or don't. Live your life. Bye!